are changing drastically every day as we face the worldwide impact of COVID-19. More than ever, we need to be reminded to lift our eyes to the Lord, who alone remains constant. Join now Pastor George Small and a special guest as they set aside this time to remind our hearts of the unchanging truth found in God's Word. Now let's join Pastor George Small.
Well, good evening. It is again a privilege to be joining with you tonight on radio and through the web and so forth as you're tuned in, maybe on our app on your phone. And this is Renew FM. My name is George Small. I pastor a church here in central Massachusetts, and we're spending these last few weeks at this time, 6 to 7 o'clock, to encourage you at a time like this, a time of a global pandemic, COVID-19, all that continues to go on. I know even statistically today, we're hoping we're at the peak of this storm, and yet many people have died again today in our country, and many people are newly infected, and this storm continues to go on. And what will it all mean in our lives? Well, we want to be here to encourage you, and one of the ways we've been doing that is interviewing different pastors around the region and other parts of the world and country, too, and just to, give us perspective, also encourage us, have ministers share their hearts with us. And we're going to do that today, but tonight we're going to bring on a missionary. In fact, this technology that is available to all of us today, able to connect with people in other parts of the world, we're going to do that tonight, and I hope the Skype call that we have coming in here works well, but we have a missionary from Western Africa that we're going to be bringing on, Chris Jones, and his name is Chris Jones of the Gospel for Africa, and he'll be calling in here in a couple minutes, and we'll put him on the air. But the Psalm 41 comes to my mind, and I thought it might be just good for our perspective to maybe, because of the situation we're in, you know, our lives. Isolation, self-isolation maybe, or maybe a lack of work, or maybe just life is just a little bit more difficult for you, but to just get the perspective too of the world, but the poor, I've just been thinking about that lately, just how this pandemic is affecting the poor, not so much maybe their physical health as far as catching the virus, certainly it's spreading across all the world, but even economically what is happening to the poor. And so we're going to have Chris Jones from Cote d'Ivoire, which is the Ivory Coast in Western Africa. And he's outside of the city of Abidjan. And he has been there quite some time ministering with his wife, Noelle. He's planted churches and got a lot of different things going on. But he's in that world there in West Africa. And you might remember some of your history. Ebola went through some of those countries, that neighbor Ivory Coast, got into Ivory Coast a little bit, but not so much. But that's where it is in the world. And you have an economy that's fairly strong for Western Africa, but yet a country with a lot of poor. And Chris and his wife are out in the countryside, out in the villages now. We're in the city, and that's where they are. So I thought, let's let him get on and just share. He's far from here. You know, if you were to get on a plane to get to where he is, and it's not that air miles is this far, but just the way travel goes, it'd take you 2 days to get there, just the way flights go to get from here to there. And so it's a bit to travel from Boston to get there. It's probably 2 days. And then you got to travel out to the country to be where he is. And so he's in a different part of the world. Chris is an American, married a Cote d'Ivoirian wife, a woman, Noelle, and just a neat people. So he'll be joining with us, and we'll share just his heart for you. And he's been out here in New England, too, spent multiple times in the Boston area. So he's familiar with New England and obviously the United States. So I thought we'd bring him on just to let you hear his heart and let you hear what's happening in his part of the world too. And this is far from here, right? This is Africa, this call that we're going to bring in here in a moment. And, you know, how is it affecting him? How is it affecting the neighborhood? How is it affecting the poor? How is it affecting ministry? All those sort of things. And I guess just for you and I, the perspective, but the Psalm 41, considering the poor, I think of these words right now as we get started. Psalm 41, blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he'll be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You'll sustain him on his sick bed. Isn't that interesting? just the way that psalm is, you know, blessed is he, happy is he who considers the poor. And the way the psalmist describes heaven's perspective is God notes the people that help the poor, and God will be with you. God is going to help you in trouble. God will preserve you. God will keep you alive. God will deliver you. God will even strengthen you when you're sick. You know, that's what the psalm says, Psalm 41. And I guess that is an intriguing psalm to read at this time when we bring Chris on here on the air and consider where he is ministering to the poor in the world at a time of a global pandemic and, you know, COVID-19 so extensive the way it's traveled all around this world, and a good growing number of cases in Africa and obviously in Western Africa. So here we are all together. So, but the Lord, you know, noting repeatedly in the Bible, when we have a heart for the poor and we consider the poor, and a lot of times that can help you, can't it? When you're looking around and you're wondering about your budget, you're wondering about your finances because of what's going on. You're wondering about the difficulty that you are going through as an American in this. And, you know, that can vary significantly from household to household, but it certainly can be eye-opening to consider what others are going through and to put it into better perspective. So, well, Pastor Chris, welcome to Renew FM.
Hey, Pastor George.
It's great.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, it's great to have you join. And I'm glad for the technology that lets you 10 o'clock at night there, call us here through your Skype connection, and we can just share our hearts together. So thank you. And, you know, as we were preparing for this and talking a little bit earlier today that we'd do this together, you know, global pandemic there in Africa, here in the United States, here in Massachusetts, and it's so incredible that we are all in this place together, the world, and you're far from here in a very, very different world than we are here, and yet we're in this together. And so I thought, in your country and all that is there, you know, it'd be an encouraging to our audience to hear your heart, and we want to just point people to the Lord at this time, Chris. So, but yeah, you know, just giving you a minute here to get started. I did just talk about you on our radio, so they've learned your name, Chris Jones, Gospel for Africa, and you know, you've been in Africa. How long have you been in Western Africa and Ivory Coast, Chris?
We've been here full time for 13 years. My wife and myself. My son's in college now in the States, but he grew up here, so we've been here quite a while.
Quite a while. And what is the name of what is the name of the community that you're in?
We have churches in Abidjan, which is the largest city, and in Ganyoa, which is where we live. It's about 5 hours from Abidjan in the center part of the country.
Okay. So it's 5 hours from Abidjan?
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. And, well, Chris, you know, as we get started tonight, how is COVID-19 affecting your area of the world?
It's really just getting started here. It where the virus came on board here toward the end of March. We had one case, and now it's about 900, and it's increasing between 50, 60 a day, which is actually not too bad compared to what you guys had, like in New York, and I think Boston got hit pretty bad too, didn't it?
Yeah, we are definitely in one of the hot spots in America. Yeah, it's growing here quite a bit.
Yeah. So we've got they've locked down Abidjan. Abidjan is totally quarantined. People can't leave it. People can move around inside. Everybody has to wear a mask. They're asking only the essential workers to work, which I think is kind of laughable here, because people have to work. The majority of the population here have to work every day just to make enough money, because most people only make about $2 a day, $2 to $3 a day. So so they're trying to do the same kind of guidelines that you're doing over there in the States, but it's really not going to work out so well here, because the majority of the people in Abidjan, the large majority of them, are not, they live in slums. They're not well off. So Some of them may have refrigeration to keep a week's worth of food, but most of them have to buy food every day. And here where we live, we're in a rural area, and the people who live in the rural villages definitely live that way. The large majority of them live day to day. Fortunately, a lot of them grow their own food, or they're farmers, so they get a little bit of help that way. But the government doesn't really help people with food. The medical situation here is not very good. That I'm being kind when I say
you.
That.
I hear you.
There's one hospital in the entire country that can treat COVID-19.
Wow.
Doctors Without Borders are setting up small regional clinics where they can take 10 to 15 people that are infected at a time. I'm not sure how many of those have been set up. So far, we've only recorded 9 deaths as of today. There's been 9 deaths. But they're only reporting the people that have been tested for COVID-19. I mean, there's so many deaths here. People are used to death here. It's a daily thing. They don't like to talk about death, and it's like a taboo kind of thing. You don't talk about death here, but it's a common occurrence. We hear funerals every weekend from where we live. We can hear the music, and you can tell from the music that it's funerals, and it's every single weekend that we hear it.
Okay.
So yeah, it's here. It's here. It's not. It hasn't taken off as bad as what you guys are experiencing over there. My wife and I are. We're not. I wouldn't call it lockdown, but we're not allowed to travel. I have to get a special permit from the government to drive my car in toward Abidjan or from city to city. Otherwise, they'll arrest me. So that's some of it.
It's just striking. This virus started in China, and, you know, I came back from a trip in Southern California on March the 10th, and our church was still meeting up through March the 10th, you know, and that was when big changes were happening during that week, and I think we had our last Sunday service on March the 15th, and wow, it just is incredible that, you know, it started in China. It wasn't until March or so that it really began to really get a good grip on this country, but here you are so far away in the world, Abidjan, Africa, West Africa. Mm-hmm. That's just far away. I was explaining to our listeners, you know, if I bring up on Google right now, you know, to get the travel plans from here to there, it says it's over 2 days travel, you know, with flights to get to Abidjan. It's just not a direct, easy path from here to there, but yet it's reached your part of the world mm-hmm. too. And here you are.
Yeah.
You are also being restricted in your traveling, and the city of Abidjan, a large city that you have, you know, nearby, it's on lockdown. It's just quite a thing. It is quite a thing that is happening, that we live in such different worlds. Your world where you are is so different than here. It's extremely different, and yet we're in this together. But the poor, mm-hmm. I had it on my heart because I am considering and am hearing about the poor, and it doesn't take much, does it, to, you know, the poor of the world, they're already suffering. The poor of the world, they're already living day to day, and you don't have to throw much in there to make it a lot more difficult. And are you seeing some economic squeeze, you know, as far as the poor? Is it becoming more difficult economically for them?
Yeah, I can give you an illustration. Anytime we drive to Abidjan, like we just had a mission team come here from South Florida. There was 5 people that came. And when you drive through Abidjan, at every intersection, there's a line of poor people, and I'm talking about for maybe, you know, a kilometer, you know, long line, like about a quarter of a mile maybe, or two, or a half of a mile, where they're all selling little Chinese items in the road.
Yep.
And these people, that's their livelihood. They sell the stuff on the road, and that's how they buy their food. That's all been canceled. Nobody can buy or sell anything on the road like that. They've wiped out all the roadside stands where people were selling food on the side of the road, and the people can't do that anymore. there's a large population of beggars and street kids that survive on the goodness of human beings giving them money. The people are afraid to even talk to them now because of the virus. They actually had a special on the TV here that those kids are in really sad shape. Some charities had to come here to rescue some of them because they can't find food anywhere. In terms of the population in the rural areas, like I said before, they grow some of their own food, but they're suffering too, like the rubber farmers that grow rubber trees or bananas or coffee or cocoa. The government has shut down buying it. The government is socialist here. They buy everything. They mark it up and sell it. But the government is not buying anything because nothing is shipping out. So those people are losing their income. It's been about a month now here that they've done that. So they don't have any money to buy anything. And they live like most people do, you know, hand to mouth. They don't have a lot of savings. It's hitting pretty hard here. Hitting pretty hard.
Yeah, so you've mentioned what would be, from the American standpoint, a low volume of coronavirus cases, but it's the economics already that's taking its toll on the way of life for people around you. And that is making it difficult, as you just mentioned. Lockdown restrictions of travel. There are people that's the only way they get food and get to eat, get anything, because it's a poor country around you. And so it doesn't take much. Yeah, you shut down a city in Africa, and then the government stops purchasing what it needs to, a socialist government. You got a difficulty that people are facing from a day-to-day existence. And that's happening around the globe with this right now. The poor who are just barely surviving and living day to day, this has really only made a life that was difficult already much more difficult. And so what is happening in the church and the ministry?
There was one more thing I wanted to say the poverty, part of it. I was driving out to one of the villages 2 days ago. Was it on a 3 days, 3 or 4 days ago? Was on a Friday. Friday is market day. And when you drive out toward the village areas from the city of Ganoa where we are, you'll pass market areas where people come bring all their produce to sell and to buy, and all the people in the local area go there to buy. When we passed there, I was with a friend of mine in the truck, and the market was closed. And I was like, wow, you know, that's a pretty good-sized market. And I said, they're actually closing down the markets. And he's an Ivorian. He said, yeah. He says, they've closed them all down. I said, well, where are all these people getting their food? He said, well, they're going to have to go to the villages to find it because they can't get it in that market area. So it's making some really big changes, really big changes.
Wow.
I'm sorry. What was the other thing?
Yeah, you know, so just the church life. What's happening with church life now?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, it like you, it's changed completely. We're not allowed to have more than 10 people in a gathering. We don't have a large church group here in Ganoa. The one in Abidjan is a little bit bigger, but they can't have more than 10 people. So that pretty much means that you can't have church service. Because who are you going to say can come and who can't come? You know, you can't really say that.
Right.
And if you try to do something like that, then somebody's going to get offended, and it just doesn't work. The people here don't really have access. Well, they have access to Internet, but they can't afford it. Most people can get it on their cell phones from cell towers. But if they use it, they very rarely use it, and they certainly wouldn't buy enough data to stream video. You know, they'll buy data packets. You have to pay as you go. You know, you pay it up front. They give you a little card, and then you get it put into your telephone. So there's really no way to stream services or anything like that. So basically, we've gone back to, you know, meeting in homes. And the pastors are going to the homes and talking to the people, visiting the people. as best as they can, praying with people. I guess it would have been pretty much like it was when Jesus was walking on the earth, you know. They would go from house to house, and if they weren't allowed to go in the synagogue and preach, which they weren't allowed to do that after a while, they would just go from house to house, town to town, and talk to small groups of people. And that's what we're doing, is we're ministering to the people in a more personal way.
So do you see this as positive for the church, or are you concerned about the well-being of the church? What'll happen when this is all said and done?
Well, I think it's going to strengthen the church, actually. I think it's going to shake the church. I think it already is shaking the church, not just here, but I think all over the world. Because in history, when has anything like this ever happened on a global scale? It's, as far as I know, it's never happened. Nothing like this has ever happened where everybody on the same day or within the same month or within the same week, actually, were quarantined in their homes and were not allowed to go about their business, couldn't work, couldn't go to church, couldn't do the things that they wanted to do. And suddenly they're forced to face their own mortality. They're forced to think about people dying. They don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. I imagine it was sort of like the night of Passover, the first Passover, when the Jews were in their homes when the death angel was passing over, and they were hearing all the screams. And we might not be hearing literal screams, but we're certainly seeing it on the news, all the devastation and the things happening around the world. And it's kind of brought us all together, I think, to check ourselves out. At least I hope so. For many generations in America and other Western nations, they've always thought of, like, Africa as a poor cousin, I guess. Third world countries, unfortunate people who've been forgotten by God and are not civilized. But suddenly, like in one day, all the privileged nations now have to deal with the same kind of situation that Africa's been dealing with for centuries. So it kind of levels the playing field in that way.
Yeah. Ebola came to Ivory Coast, didn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So you had to
not.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Not as bad as it did in Liberia, but there were some cases here. It didn't cause as bad a panic here as it did in Liberia, which is right next door to us.
Yeah, so in that part of the world, have dealt with some significant plagues before. Maybe Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, not as bad. But it is an interesting perspective that you share, Chris, that it is true. You know, you go back to maybe the Spanish flu. Some of that stuff took a while to go around, you know. Some places got it later than other places, but it's true. It is April the 21st, 2020, and you're in Africa. We're here outside of Boston, and we're in the same situation. And it is, and the whole globe, you know, from heaven's perspective, God has allowed this, the whole globe, to suddenly reevaluate, to stop, to reconsider. And for some people, obviously, it's very, very difficult. But it's just incredible what has happened around the entire globe at the same time, as you mentioned that. So you're going from home to home, and you feel it's God shaking, and it's going to strengthen the church. And we often say the same sort of thing. We are now here too, that a shaking of God, likely awakening the hearts of the people in New England, the church people, and getting us more serious about the things of God. It is an incredible thing. So then let me, as far as the many non-church people around you, what do you see happening in Africa through, this, as far as spiritually, as you're in the neighborhoods you're in, and obviously you're there trying to reach them and share the love of God with them? What do you see?
The people here, because they don't really depend on medical care as much as they do on if they're Christian or they have some sort of form of Christianity, they'll depend upon God. Who they call God might differ from religion to religion. The Christians, definitely, the ones who are Christians, definitely depend upon prayer for help. The ones who are animists and idol worshipers, they have what they call, we call them in the States, witch doctors. Here they call them marabouts in the French and the ethnic languages, they call them marabouts. They're all right now going to their marabouts trying to get special cures and charms and rings and belts and head coverings and all kinds of things to keep them safe from this virus. And the Christians are hunkering down in their houses praying. We can hear them as we walk around in the neighborhood. We can actually hear people praying and wailing and crying out to God. And, you know, we're praying for the people that, you know, we're able to come in contact with. We're also, you know, seeing that there already was a hunger. It's kind of hard to explain to a Western audience the hunger that the people have here. Like when the mission team came here in February and late February and early March, we saw over 300 people get saved in 2 weeks. So when we preach, the people reach out, and that was and the people respond. When we reach out, they respond. And that was right before this happened. So now that this is happening, people are desperate. I mean, they live with death every day. You see people here with really large families, and a lot of people have said, well, that's because people over there don't know how to use birth control, but that's not really true. I even thought that before I came here. And you know why they have so many babies? They have so many babies because so many of their children die.
Wow.
They'll have eight children. They'll have 8 to 10 children because by the time those kids reach 40 or 50 years old, they might only have 3 of them left.
Wow.
You know, because the death rate is just terrible. Malaria kills, in 2018, malaria killed 405,000 people. Just malaria, 405,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah. So their people here are definitely looking to God. And anybody that we talk to, Pastor George, and I'm not exaggerating, anybody we talk to, if we offer them salvation through Jesus Christ, they take it.
Okay.
They take it.
Wow.
Finding out how serious they are, you know, that comes later. But when we ask them to pray, if they want to receive Christ, and we tell them all the benefits that Jesus has for them and, you know, the consequences if they don't receive Christ, they're ready to pray. They say, like in the Bible, what must I do to be saved?
Right.
And, yeah.
That's a striking image. We're going to be going to a break here, Chris, and I want to continue with you after the break, and it's in a minute and a half. But that's a striking image you said earlier about, you know, you can hear at times, the image I got in my mind, you can hear the people crying out to God around you in their homes and so forth at a time of suffering, and they've suffered a lot. But in this time of COVID-19, the image of, you know, people in their houses not knowing really the answers and who exactly God is. They have some form of God in their mind and yet crying out because of their suffering. And it's quite a striking image. And that's what I think I understood you talking or saying and describing around you. And you have this gospel and the news of how God sent his son to save us from our sin and that we can know him and know eternal life. But yeah, that's amazing. People in different parts of the world right now, a form of understanding about God in many cases and limited and unfortunately the wrong understanding, but yet crying out because of the time that we're going through. Well, we have a break here in 30 seconds. I'd like to just continue with you, Chris, and then we'll, and I've got some questions related to even just how you can encourage the Boston radio audience and obviously how we can consider even hear the poor and what we should be doing and praying as believers in America. Yeah, we're in a storm, but so is the rest of the world, and so are many of the poor of the world, and it has a real effect on them, even just the economics. So we'll be right back. Just hang on. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Okay.
Well, welcome back to the second half hour. We are spending this hour to encourage you at a time like this, worldwide pandemic. And tonight, in an interesting way, we have a missionary, a pastor that is presently in Western Africa, in Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, 5 hours out of sight of the major city, Abidjan. And we've been just talking about the poor and his community and just getting the perspective of what is happening at this time. And also as believers, how we can be praying and the difference we can be making. So Chris, again, great to have you with us. And I want to continue our conversation and had the break there to get through. But as you were just describing the way it is and the opportunity, some of the, you know, what you see happening in your culture and in the community around us, and yet at the same time, the limitation. And but as Americans, considering all that you're seeing and what is happening, what would you say to the American church related to the Africans and the poor of the world? What would you want to tell the American church?
Well, I think it's a really good opportunity for the American church at this point, because, like you said before, we're all suffering. We're all facing this together. Some places have been hit harder than others, but the fear factor and the not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow, that's worldwide. People have finally maybe come to the realization that they're not in control of their own destiny. Like I mentioned before, their own mortality. And when you come to a situation like that, you can let it freeze you in fear, or you can say, well, you know, I've had it pretty good all my life. And some of you probably have that are listening to us, but some of you may not have had that. So we're all across the board, and I realize that. But we could use this time to realize that, you know, we're all in this together, Africans, Asians, Americans, Europeans, Russians, and everybody. We're all in this together. And we need to ask God, you know, God, what is it that you want me to do to help others right around me in my church and my local neighborhood and my city and my county and my state? And then also, don't forget that across the ocean, there's a whole lot of people that are suffering maybe even a little bit more than you are. And prayer is always the best thing to do. But there's also ways to reach out and help. I mean, but you have to spend the time looking and searching how you might best help. Helping through your church is a great way to do it. Because then you can focus better on something that you think God wants you to do as a group of people rather than an individual. Some of you might be called at some point to go out, go on a mission trip, go out and serve, do something like that. But all these things can't be ignored anymore in terms of our having control of our future. I think it'll never be the same again. I think our lives have changed forever. This is my opinion. I could be wrong, but I think our lives have changed forever. And even if we go back to normal, like if we go back to our normal living like it was before, we still will always have that knowledge, you know, deep inside of us from this experience that God is the only one that's really in control. At least I hope that's what we all come to. Life could take a radical change at any moment, a radical turn for the worse. It could take a radical turn for the better also, but a radical turn for the worse, and it's God who governs the lives of men. He's on his throne in the heavenly realm, and he knows what we're going to face tomorrow. He knows what we're going to face every hour, every day, every moment, every year. He's looking ahead to see. He already knows what's going to happen. So why should we live our lives like we're in control? Why should we do that? I mean, looking at the situation now around the world, the economy, everything that's going on, I mean, why should we even think that way anymore? We should give it up and know that God is in control and only he can guide us, you know.
Yeah.
In 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians it says, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We really don't know if we have tomorrow, you know. We don't know, and all of this has proved that to all of us. I mean, it's like a big slap in the face. Hey, guys, wake up.
it's so true. You know, I think about, you know, the American perspective here and living outside of Boston. You know, you had September 11th. What a time that just rattled everybody's life and really shook us. And then we had the 2008 financial crisis. And then we even in Boston had the Boston Marathon bombing. And then, you know, we've had some things that are like pretty big rattling events, you know. And now this is just amazing. In New England, you know, the way man is, it is true. A crisis can come. And then right after, we have bad memories. We really do, don't we? We can forget things if we're just foolish.
Mm-hmm.
But in New England, you know, to me, as I've been here a while, if you want to get to the people's attention, I mean, there's so many distractions, but especially take just sports. Sports is such a big thing in the Boston area, Massachusetts, New England, because we have really successful sport programs. And in fact, I came in from a vacation in California and landed March 10th, and things just kicked in real quick for me when I got back home. But with the ministry, but I had some friends of mine, you know, they had tickets to the Bruins. We were supposed to be going on that Saturday, and the Bruins, first place in the NHL, and a big deal to many in New England. Well, that got closed down. We didn't go to the game because there's no more NHL this year, and the Celtics were highly rated. That got shut down. The Red Sox is always such, you know, we call it Red Sox Nation. So many people in the country are connected to the Sox. That shut down, and it's still shut down. Tom Brady left New England and the Patriots, and it's quite a thing that all these things, this moment of pause around the whole world. You're in Africa, and you're being restricted in your travel, and there's a pause. There's this thing that's come over the world that's stopped the world in many ways, and people are really considering what life is about. And if you wanted to slow things down a little bit in New England, you know, turn off the sports, you know, because it takes so much of people's lives, and there's a lot of other things, but it is a time. And if you're listening to my voice here and this interview, this is George Small. I'm interviewing here on Renew FM. I pastor a church in central Massachusetts, and I'm interviewing Chris Jones from Western Africa. He's a missionary pastor. He's an American married to a Cote d'Ivoirean, and they've been doing a wonderful ministry in Abidjan and outside of Abidjan now. In that area of the world, in Western Africa, Ivory Coast, and their world is under the same thing we're under here, and just similar descriptions. People's lives, the whole planet right now is just thinking about a lot of things, and I do believe, as Chris has been sharing with the audience, with you, is that I believe God is getting our attention, and I hope you're taking this seriously. I hope you really are evaluating what life is about. You have every reason to, and you're really, and you know, maybe you have known people that have been a turnoff to you as far as Christianity, and maybe you know all these other things, and that is a true thing that can happen, is people can really sometimes blur the message, and we, you know, we're just people, man. We're all broken, and we're all a little peculiar, I'm sure, but yet God and his Son and the gospel is still there. It's just defined so much of human history, and God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you right now, and I do pray, as we're here and you're listening, that your heart is being stirred towards God. And, you know, Chris, just going a little further with that, you've been to New England. I know you've even come out here, and I remember, I think last time you were here, you know, you and your wife, you live in a part of the world where, like you said, there's not much medical, you know, there's one hospital in all the country that you just noted that can even deal with COVID-19. So the people in the villages around you, they get sick. It's either witch doctor or, if God willing, there's a Christian that'll come along and pray for them, right? And so you
have expressed to me how in Africa the church has such a vibrant faith because you don't have all these things to turn to, and how you actually see, you know, often people get healed as you guys pray, because that's the only way it's going to work. And so you, I remember you here in New England wanting to go out and pray and just go out in the streets around here and talk to people, pray for them, and just to see what the Lord might do. And so with that in mind, Chris, if you were in Boston today, and let's just pretend a moment there's a little bit more going on, a little bit more going on, and you can sit down and have a cup of coffee with somebody in Quincy Market or somewhere in Boston, that, you know, just a Bostonian that doesn't, you know, just a secular Bostonian, what further would you say to them at this hour?
Would I have to be wearing a mask?
No, let's just pretend this is over, you know. You know, or, okay, maybe you're wearing a mask. Maybe, yeah, let's okay. At this moment, yeah, with all that's going on, what would you just, your appeal to them? And if there's more you would say, I'm curious.
Well, if they were a secular person, if they didn't know anything about Jesus Christ, there would be one way to talk to them. If they were a Christian who maybe has been walked away from God, there'd be some other way to talk to them. But I would ask them, you know, what do you think all of this, you know, in this situation, what do you think all of this means? I mean, what is it that you're surmising from all of this? I mean, this has never happened in the history of the planet, as far as I know. So why do you think it's happening, and where do you fit in all of this? God forbid, you know, something should happen to you or one of your loved ones coming under the scourge of the COVID-19. And, you know, you found yourself in a situation where the only hope that you had was whether or not the doctor had enough experience to handle the situation that you were in, or the nurses that were around you would spend enough time and take care of you the way that they should. And, you know, I'm sure that all of the medical professionals are doing the best that they can, but I couldn't imagine being in a situation like they're in day in, day out, hour after hour. Some of them certainly are fatigued. So I would say to the person, do you really want to put your security in that? I mean, is that where your life is secured? Are you looking for temporary resolutions? I mean, like that? Do you really think that mankind has it all together in such a way that, you know, you're going to make it through the next few months unharmed? And I think if that person would be honest, he would have to say no. He would have to say no. Maybe he wouldn't say no because he could probably see where I was headed. But I think in his heart of hearts, he would probably have to say no. We can't trust mankind to solve this situation, and we shouldn't. It's not there's not going to be a political situation that's going to solve it. There's not going to be a medical situation that's going to solve it. If it's solved, it's going to be solved by God's providence. It's going to be solved by God intervening. The people that are trying to develop a vaccine, they're getting whatever intelligence they have from our Creator. So the ultimate cure is going to come from His hand. And I would ask the person, I would say, why do you think this happened? Do you think this happened so that you could spend the rest of your life on your own desires? I wanted to say selfish desires, but I would probably offend him. but would you want to spend the rest of your life on your own desires, or would you rather spend the rest of your life helping others and loving God and being a person that could be used by God in such a way, such a magnificent way? Would you rather go to bed at night in fear that if you didn't wake up in the morning, you would be in a place that you don't know exists, or the Bible, which the Bible calls the place hell, or would you rather have the assurance of being in a place that God has created for you to be in? God created heaven for us to live with him forever. It's not created for people that don't want to be there. It's only created for people who want to be there. And in this situation, you're being given a preview of what things could be on both sides. On the side that what you could think would be worst for the entire nation or the entire world, and that a virus would come and cause death and destruction, and both with the economy and with people's lives. Or if you want to take God's view of it, this situation could be a big wake-up call for you, Mr. Bostonian.
I hear you.
And you could take this situation and say, you know what? I don't want to live this life anymore. I want to be assured that I'm going to go to heaven if I die. And I want to trust the God that created me to heal my body. I want to work with him. I don't want to work against him. And this situation has happened, not because God is angry or upset with the world, which, you know, he loves us all. We're all the same, like Pastor George said. We're all just a bunch of sinners, imperfect people. But God loves us, and he wants us to be with him forever. And he's allowed this to happen so that we might look at that situation and say, you know what? I don't want to go the other way. I want to be with God. I don't want to spend my eternity away from God. I want to know that things are going to work out well for me and my family and the people around me. And the only guarantee that we have of all of that is Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, and the fact that he did die and he suffered the pain that we were supposed to suffer. And on the third day, he rose from the dead to prove that it's all true. So, my friend, what would you choose? I mean, would you choose to let this thing pass by, this opportunity pass by? In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. What does that mean? It means God has given us everything that we need. He's given us a great salvation. We don't have to wonder anymore. We don't have to worry about being in hell for all eternity. Jesus has made a way for us. And yeah, this is really tough right now, but this is only for a moment. What we're going through right now is going to end. Hopefully things will get better, but we have no guarantee. I mean, after this, somebody could release another virus. God forbid, I don't want that to happen, but we don't know what the future is. So you could take today, because today being the day of salvation, and seal it, you know, make a commitment to God, believe on Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and move on with your life into an eternity of happiness, joy, where there's no suffering, crying, pain, forever.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think? All you that are listening out there, what do you think? You know?
Yeah, you know, as you describe, obviously, the life on this earth, even as a Christian, is not easy. But, yeah, it's eternal life. There is an answer. Our suffering, the Bible does say, as a Christian, God works it all to good. And, you know, my sufferings aren't going to be worth or even comparable to the glory that I'll experience with God when I'm in heaven. But it's true heaven, you know, eternal life. We're more than just physical people. You know, as I was listening to you, Chris, Psalm 39, I think of that because, as you were mentioning, to the the listener, and that is, you know, life is fragile. I mean, look around; it is fragile. And what are you trusting in? And you know, there is a rock, there is the gospel, there is this history. You can do all the research and studies, and get your heart honest before God. And you'll find there's a God who loves us, and he's provided a way for us to know him and to be forgiven. And it's a big deal to stand apart from God and to die apart from God. It is to be under judgment of God because God is holy. So God doesn't want that. He's even put the whole planet on pause right now. But Psalm 39, verse 4, you know, the psalmist, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best is but a vapor. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain and heap up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? And then the psalmist says, my hope is in you. And then he says, deliver me from all my transgressions, all my sins. Don't make me the reproach of the foolish. I was mute, I did not open my mouth because it was you who did it. Remove your plague from me and I'm consumed. I'm consumed by the blow of your hand. When with rebukes you correct me, man, for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is a vapor. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I'm a stranger with you, a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Remove your gaze from me, that I may regain strength before I go and am no more. The psalmist, just in a place of realizing I am nothing, struggling, God, you know, my hope is in you. And obviously that's in the Old Testament, long before the Jesus. And the answer to his prayer here is to know Christ and to be forgiven of your sin. But life is just a vapor. It's just a shadow. And this is a reminder. God's put this whole universe, this whole planet on pause right now with a little virus. And everybody all everywhere, West Africa to Boston, considering what is life about. Don't miss your moment. We need forgiveness of our sins. And the Bible says that God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So, well, Pastor Chris, we've got just over 2 minutes. And what can the church in New England do related to gospel for Africa? Is there a way we can contact you? If somebody is listening right now and their heart was moved and they're like, I want to help the poor of Ivory Coast, you know, I want to give you an opportunity here. Where do they go? What do they do?
Well, we have a website. That's the best way. It's gospelforafrica.org. Gospelforafrica.org. That's F-O-R. G-O-S-P-E-L-F-O-R. Africa.org. And you can see what we're doing on there. We update it often. And you can also go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/gospelforafrica. But on there, you're going to see a lot of communication type things, and that's where you can actually talk to us if you want. We respond as often as we can if you want to start a chat on there or something. And you can also chat with us on Messenger there. So those are the two ways. If somebody wants to support us, they can do it on the website. There's a place to do it there. And if when all of this is over and travel's reinstated, we hope maybe some of you will want to come over here and visit with us and serve with us. That would be great. We would love to see that. We're always looking for more help and more people to come and serve.
Okay. Well, Chris, again, it's been a privilege. But gospelforafrica.org, that is the website, and Facebook, Gospel for Africa. You can find more information about the ministry. You can partner with Pastor Chris and Noel and help the poor of West Africa and Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire. But Pastor Chris, it's just been a privilege to have you. I'm really thankful that our Skype connection stayed strong. You know, you're out in the villages of Africa, so this all worked out, and I think it's the Lord you're able to share your heart with also the Boston audience. And I just pray God's grace and mercy and health for you and for you and your wife and your son. And it's been a blessing, and we're here now at the end of our time. So God bless you, and I hope you have a great night too.
Okay, thank you so much, Pastor George, and thanks to all the people too.
God bless you.
listening to Renew FM, and we're so blessed you could join us tonight for our live broadcast here with Pastor George Small. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us Monday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY. But most importantly, we want to remind you that you can call on the Lord and receive the encouragement you need from His Word at any time. We invite you to join us next time on our live broadcast. And until then, good night and God bless you.